clock. A guy that I have always had the utmost respect for over the years is Jamal Crawford. I'm a big Jamal Crawford fan. I would be a bigger fan if he played in Sacramento, but he doesn't, and you know him very well. Jamal, yes, it's sir. Grant Napier and Doug Christie. Thanks for coming on. How are you?
Man, I'm so honored to be on with both of you guys. Thank you guys for having me. I'm really, really excited about this one.
What's happening with you, big dog? You hanging? Dude. You in the town?
Yeah, you know it. You're the biggest dog of all, man. I can't believe it took us this long to actually do this formally.
That's unbelievable. Hey, Jamal, I was telling Doug before you came on, I said, I'm thinking of Jamal in the Minnesota winters, and that just doesn't flow with me, man. How are you going to handle being outside, even if it's for a couple of seconds, in Minneapolis in the middle of wintertime?
Well, luckily, I went to Michigan, even though that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Going there and then going to Chicago the first part of my career, I think those two things will definitely help me get back to it. But the Midwest is just a whole different vibe. It's a different flow. And I was out there a couple weeks ago and just seeing the people and how excited they are about our team and just sports in general. I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Napes, you know what a bomber jacket is?
Yep.
Oh, I'm sure that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure Jamal still has his bomber jacket. That's what's up.
We got a couple of those.
Oh, no doubt. When you look at Minnesota, obviously, just your time in Los Angeles was fantastic. What drew you more to Minnesota than maybe, you heard Cleveland and different places out there? What drew you to what Minnesota has to offer?
To be honest with you, Doug, I just didn't want to go to something that was already put together.
Mm.
I wanted to be part of something that was building and on the rise. And if you look at it, Minnesota hasn't been to the playoffs in 13 years, right? But
you know
they have great young pieces with Carl Anthony Towns and Wiggins. Then you see Butler go there. Then you see Teague and you see Taj. You're like, oh, they're serious right now.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point in my career, I could have easily, made the excuse, I'm just going to chase this ring and just do this, 17 years in. But I said, no, I want to embrace this journey with these guys. I have time for that to go, chase the ring my last year or two. But I want to continue to build and continue to get better. And I think sometimes you find it even more rewarding to help a group go from one point to a different point.
No doubt.
It's not always about the end result. It's just embracing the journey and enjoying the process.
You talk about the journey, and if you don't mind just backing up for a moment, you look at the roster that you played with the last couple of years, and there was just talent everywhere, and there was some bad luck involved with injuries as you got to the postseason. When you look back at your tenure with the Clippers, and I say, gosh, you guys never made it out of the second round, which to me is surprising. And, yeah, you play in a very good, loaded Western Conference, but I thought you guys had the talent. Obviously, 2 years ago, that loss that you had when you were up 3-1, the Houston's got a sting. But what do you think was the barrier there with that team not getting over the hump?
Yeah, that's what was the most disheartening thing about it. If you look at the rosters that we had over the last 4, 5, 6 years, there's no reason we shouldn't have been in the Western Finals at least, twice. If you look at it, we were up, like you said, 3-1 against Houston. And there's another situation where it was 2-2. We're up 7 with 40 seconds left in game 5 on the road. And if we win that game, we got a chance to go home and close it and get to the Western Finals. So between those two things, and those were self-inflicted. So between those two things and then just, like you said, bad timing with injuries. It wasn't like injuries that happened in January or December at the beginning of the season or middle of the season. It was in the playoffs, so it wasn't really time to adjust to that. So between those two things, it was just it didn't go our way. You look back at it and say, it was one of the best Clipper teams in recent memory, but we just didn't go where we wanted to go, and that's the most disappointing thing about it.
Jamal, I heard you say 17 years, and it baffles my mind. Time flies so fast, and I look at a guy like Tom Brady who's changed his diet. He's really keeping himself.
Who I went to school with, though.
Did you go to school with Tom in Michigan?
Yeah, we
it was in the water
together every day. Every single day we had training table together, basketball, football team. He was always quiet, always had his hat down, and he would come to our games. I would go to theirs. But, yeah, we went to school together.
Well, see.
Sorry to cut you off.
Both of you guys are on kind of that same thing because I just heard you say, I have time to chase a ring. So that, in my mind, says, okay, that's 2, maybe 3 years in Minnesota, and then you got time. That would be 20 years, Jamal. I mean.
Unbelievable.
I see you still moving good. How do you feel?
I feel great. I really do. I think you've been a prime example of that. If you look at your career and how you prepare, and I always tell people you've had more, and I'm not just saying this because you're on the phone, mm-hmm. You've had more of an impact on my career than anybody ever has, just seeing how you prepare even things I didn't ask you questions of. I mean,
right.
I see now guys are using the stick to kind of foam roll themselves, the handheld. You had that back 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So just watching and learning and seeing how you prepare and how you take care of yourself. And for me, I just feel like just stay in shape. I feel like it's always harder to get back in shape.
Yes.
And it's just to stay in shape. And if you look at it, if you took a job somewhere, right, and you're gone for 9 months, and then you come back home, you try to turn on the lights, they may pop, the car may not start. I just keep the body going. Stay
right.
active. I think that's the best way to feel better about your body. And when you feel better about your body, you feel better about your game because you can put more work in. So that's just kind of my philosophy.
I have one word for Jamal Crawford.
What's that?
It's the same word I had for you.
What's that?
Professional.
There you go. Yeah.
You know what, Jamal? Because there's a right way and a wrong way. You know, it's called being a professional.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I had the opportunity. Even now, like the Pro-Am is getting – I don't know if you guys saw it today. LeBron James was asking where he can get some runs in. And then I threw out the Pro-Am, and he said, hey, I may take you up on that and come up this summer.
Oh, wow.
So it's just – yeah, so to see where the Pro-Am has gone, it started with Doug. Like, I was on his team as a 16-year-old kid, and I was just – you know, I wasn't scoring a lot, and I was, you know, going through the rigors of playing against older guys, stronger guys, better guys. But he really took me under his wing, you know, and it made it – once I got comfortable and, you know, he said, just go play, you know, make mistakes. It's a game of imperfect. So once I got that under my belt, I kind of took off a little bit and my confidence grew. And I was like, if I can do this against, you know, guys who are grown, when I get back to high school, you know, I should have a lot of success. And just being in the NBA, it all started with Doug. He really took me under his wing and I just really want to thank you. I really, really do, because you've been unbelievable.
That's so awesome.
No doubt. You know, I don't know if I've told Grant this, but so I had an agent, and he comes up to me, and he goes, look, I got this kid, and I'm telling you, I think he can play in the summer league. And I said, okay, well, let's see. And Jamal, he goes, jumps out on the court, and with he about the first 5 seconds, as soon as he touched the ball, Grant, and he started moving, I said, oh, yeah, he's good. He's good. He's good to go. and he was. From that point, it's been all uphill. When you look at the summer league now, because initially when we started, Jamal, we went down to Oregon and we played against Damon Stoudemire and those guys. You've taken it to another level. Now you're going up to BC. You're playing up there. You're going to the Drew League and playing against those guys. How are the guys in Seattle taking that? Because it looks to be working fabulously.
It is. It really is. And I think we all have a responsibility. And I always tell them that you and Gary Payton kind of paved the way for me, you know, and really – show me what it was about being a professional, how you always reach back and pay it forward. And I felt like if I was ever in a position, when I made it, I was going to do the same thing. So you see Brandon Roy's and Isaiah Thomas's and Nate Robinson's and all these guys, and now we have a whole community doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and it started with you personally. That's how I feel as far as giving back to our community and really knowing that just because you reach a certain level, you don't have to act a certain way. You know, you're just still a guy who's chasing his dreams and hopefully inspiring the next generation. That's what you did, and that's what we're doing now. So, and at this time period, especially with not having the Sonics, this is the closest we have to NBA basketball. You know, we don't have that. So if a kid wants to see a Steph Curry or a Kevin Durant, they have to watch it on TV or they have to play video games. You know, so I go ask those kids who they want to see, and we've had Kevin Durant, we've had Kobe Bryant, we've had Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, John Wall, Kyrie Irving, Paul George came last summer. It's just been unbelievable to watch the growth and see the guys and really be excited about knowing what it means to our community.
You know, Jamal, that is what you say is so spot on. I can remember being on the 7 Rainier, riding it from Rainier Beach, downtown Seattle, and I'm passing by Franklin High School, and there's this Rolls Royce. It's a white one. It's coming at me. I must have been, I don't know, 11 years, 12 years old. And on the front, it says NBA 1. I look through the window, and it's Gus Williams, and I'm just like, oh, my God, that's Gus Williams.
Right.
And that's what in Seattle inspired for us to see something bigger, and now for you to do this for kids as you're going through your process, you're right. What are the chances that you see NBA coming back to Seattle?
I feel good about it. I really do. Just talking with some of the people in the city and some of the movers and shakers, I feel like, you know, obviously we don't want any city to lose their team,
right?
Because we know how that feels, you know. But maybe through expansion. I see within the next 5 years, I'm really, really confident we'll have a team. And even if it takes a little bit longer than that, I'm confident we'll get a team back here. It's just, if you talk to people, if you talk to the Paul Pierces and the Grant Hills and even Blake Griffin when he came out, he had never played here professionally. And he was just like, this city's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so you see the Seattle's, the Vancouver's, and that used to be a heck of a trip to hit Portland, Seattle, Vancouver. Your family could come down and look both ways. So unbelievable things. I really believe we'll get a team here sooner than later.
Hey, well, Grant, I would love that.
Grant always talks about the fact that the worst trade in the NBA was from Vancouver to Memphis.
Hey, let me tell you, it's the worst trade in the history of sports, and the second worst trade in the history of sports was Seattle to Oklahoma City.
Okay, yeah, that was a tough one.
Hey, you know, I'm curious, for someone like yourself, and obviously – I think you're going to a great situation when I look at the roster of Minnesota, and I think you know you're probably in a position where you're still trying to get that ultimate prize and the win. But here in Sacramento, they kind of hit the reset button with the trade of DeMarcus Cousins, and then they have a lot of young players on this team, and so they went out and they got Zach Randolph and they got Vince Carter and they have George Hill, and these players all understand what they're coming into. I'm not saying that they're conceding winning, but they also understand what part of their role is. What do you think it's going to be like for a Vince Carter and a Zach Randolph to take on those type of roles?
Well, I think for the younger players, you couldn't have better veterans to lead the way. Z-Bo may not be the most vocal, but he's going to lead by example by bringing it every single day, you know, being a workhorse in practice. I played with him in New York, and he brings it every single day he's on the court. Vince may be more nurturing with his mentorship. Okay, this is how you do it. You got to be here. You know, an hour and 45 before in the weight room, getting your body right, taking care of your body. George Hill may lead more by example. He may be, the guy who's kind of the quiet vocal leader in being the point guard. So you need guys like that on your team. I think a team can only go so far without having those veteran players, without having those true professionals around them. So I think it'll bode well for the future, even more so than wins and losses. I think it'll bode well for the foundation they're trying to set for their franchise.
You know, Jamal, as you look at what Golden State has done and what they've put together, I think a lot of teams, obviously, in the Western Conference are scrambling. What's your take on how the teams have been? You know, a lot of people have criticized what they've done. In my opinion, hey, if you get together, you get together. How do you look at the top to bottom in the Western Conference of now Golden State being at the top?
Yeah, well, Golden State, obviously, they're the juggernaut, right? They're the ones that everybody's trying to figure out, and everybody knows they're kind of going to have to go through, especially as they won it in their first year. You know, obviously it'll be tougher that everybody's gunning for you, but it'll be a little bit easier that continuity will be there. They'll know who's – even something so small as, you have Steph and KD who shoot 90% from the free throw line. Who's going to shoot the technical foul? Because KD was doing it all the time. Small things like that, and they figured that out now. So it's up to everybody else to kind of catch up. You know the Spurs are going to be there. They're consistently good. You know, Pop always finds a way. Kawhi is one of the best players in the league. You know, I think Houston's going to be good. Obviously, we feel like we're a team on the rise. You got OKC. So the Western Conference, it's really, really tough, but that's what makes it fun, the competition, the going through the ups and downs and the battles. So I'm excited about it.
That's awesome. Jamal Crawford joining us right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. When I look back at your career, if I asked you, Jamal, you have the ability to go back and replay one game in your career. Do you know which game you would choose?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I have to go one game.
Yep.
Yeah, it would be that 3-1 that 3-1 lead. And actually we were up 3-2 at the time, and we were up 19 in the fourth quarter. Because if we win that game, we're going to the Western Finals and then anything can happen.
Yep,
so
that's right.
That's the one game I think I would change.
You know, when you look at that, I've always told Grant, as we've talked about this, I thought you guys at that time were better than Golden State. But what happened was they got there and they won. And winning it gives you confidence and all these different things that could happen. As you look back at it and you recollect, is that probably, in your mind, the one thing that kind of gets you that you guys never got a chance to meet them before they took this other flight path?
Yes, it is. Because honestly, Doug, we were ahead of them.
Yeah.
We played them, I think, 2 years before that in the playoffs, and we beat them. In game 7 in advance. But those guys, we knew that they were coming. We didn't know how fast it would be. But obviously, they just kept going. And like you said, that was the year they won the championship the first time. So who knows what would have happened. You know, they went through that year. I remember they played New Orleans, who was kind of struggling into the playoffs. Then they played Memphis, who was kind of banged up. And then they got Houston, who we thought we should have been playing instead of Houston. You know, we should have been playing Golden State. So, yeah, that one tugs at you a little bit. And if I could change one game, it would be that game, for sure.
We're talking with Jamal Crawford. He scored 50 more points with 3 different teams. That's big time right
That's
there, huh, Dougie?
Buckets, baby.
Hey, hey, Jamal, no disrespect, but one of those games wasn't with Doug Christie guarding you.
Hey, It definitely was not with Doug Christie Garvin. There's no way I could have pulled that off with Doug Garvin.
I was sitting in front of the TV. I was rooting for you, baby.
Yeah, I know you were. You always rooted for him, but he's one of the toughest defenders I've ever played against. So it definitely wasn't with him on me.
When you look back at those, I mean, one was with New York, one was with Chicago, the third one was with the Clippers,
Golden State.
Yes. Out of those three, which one do you say that you look back and you go, that was the one I was rolling that night? I know you were rolling on all of them.
Yeah, I was. You're absolutely right, though. There's one that's a little bit different. So I had 50 when I was with Golden State, and I had 50 in Chicago. But the 50 in New York was the one because I missed my first four shots. Then I hit 16 straight shots.
I remember.
And eight of the 16 were threes. So I went from the end of the first quarter to the end of the third quarter. I didn't miss a shot every single time down the court. I scored 42 straight points. And I actually came out the game with 7 minutes to go. So if I had one individual moment, it would have been that game just to see. Because I'm almost positive the way I was rolling, I could have got to 65. And that was with playing against the defending champ Miami Heat.
You should see Grant's face right now.
Let me tell you something. Well, because you know what? There's nothing like doing something like that at the Garden.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my God.
Right?
Heath
There's just
was actually at the game. He played in the Joker.
Yes.
In the last Batman. He was at the game. Michael Rappaport. It was so many people. The Patrick Ewing was there.
Wow.
There was so many people there and to have the Garden
rocking.
Like they were acting that night. Yeah, it was like I was on stage performing. So I'll never forget that one.
Yeah, you know how I remember that one is because ESPN counted every bucket, and they counted up to 16. They said, 1, 2, 3.
Wow.
When's he going to stop?
I didn't see that.
That's awesome.
I did not see that. And it was against the defending champ, so that was really cool.
Give us the breakdown of the summer league as you wind it down right now. What do you got left?
Well, we got some surprise guests, as always. I've talked to guys like C.J. McCollum. I think Andre Drummond is going to stop by this weekend. Like I said, LeBron just tweeted out something.
That's awesome.
One of these days, I think I'm going to get Steph Curry there. We talked a little bit last summer, and he was trying to make it happen last summer. So I'm almost sure he'll come in the near future. We got the playoffs for it, and then we'll end it with the championship. But you know the big three is coming here too, Doug. They're coming August 20th, so we're going to stop by and go check that out as well.
That is awesome.
There you go. Where are they playing at?
Yeah. They're playing at the Key.
That's awesome. You know, with Steph, all you got to do, all you got to do with Steph is take him to the best golf course up there. Just say, hey, we got you all dialed in. This is, and you know.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's a segue to get in there. You're right.
That's
awesome.
When you end this and you start prepping to get ready for the season, how do you go about that? I know a lot of people are different. You like to continue to play. Some guys start a regimen of different things. Do you take off any time, or are you just going to keep going straight on through?
No, I just go straight on through. Obviously, I start building. I've kind of been doing it, but I dedicate a couple more days a week to it, to the stability stuff,
mm-hmm.
and the mechanical stuff, and kind of strengthening the body because, you know, the season will take a lot out of you and you
yes.
want to be strong going into the season. But I'll continue to play. You know, I think a lot of guys take a lot of time off in the summer and they may drill and do things like that, but they won't actually play because no matter what drills you do, you have to get out there 5-on-5 with different bodies and not be ready for that. And then just ramp up the conditioning. Yeah, ramp up the conditioning, start doing the heels and start doing the sand a little bit more, just getting ready to go.
Hey, listen, man, it is great to have you on. I know Doug is very appreciative.
Oh, so
am I. I've enjoyed watching you over the years in doing games in which you play, man. You're awesome, and you're a class act, and I wish you nothing but the best.
And before I let you go, thank you so much. Before I let you go, I know when I start going against Sacramento, I really start rolling. You say, Jamal Crawford, ladies and gentlemen, you always give me love and always that voice. That voice always sticks out to me. So you always do a great job. I appreciate it. And Doug, I owe the world to. That's my guy for life.
No doubt, man. Appreciate you all. Love you, big man, and see you soon. Arby's finest right there, Grant Napier, Rainier Beach in the house.
Be good, Jamal. You take care of yourself.
All right, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, what a class act, huh?
Hey, man, he's been the same way, Grant, since I met him when he was 15, 16 years old. That's why I say you're proud for him and of him.